For Michelle Broom and her handsome pilot, Tom, the sky was the limit.
We got to travel everywhere. We didn't have a care in the world.
Tom was the male version of Michelle in some ways. They had a lot of fun together.
He was just so full of adventure.
But Tom's appetite for adventure took a dark turn.
He was working for the Mexican gangster.
And everything Michelle thought she knew about her dashing husband would crash and burn.
There was no money. It was gone.
He seemed like he was possessed.
New York Times, we'd be sitting on the couch twitching.
He was a total stranger to me. He was not the man I married.
When it comes to love and marriage, things aren't always as they seem. A girl never forgets her first kiss. For Michelle Broom, the moment came when she was just 14.
When I first met Tom, we were at a church youth group retreat. And we were around the fire. And he just kind of leaned over and planted a big one right in the mouth.
It was the summer of 1982. And 17-year-old Tom Broom was the catch of his small Jacksonville Beach, Florida town.
He was just running with a popular crowd, very athletic. Everybody knew who he was, and he got along with everybody.
But as popular as he was, Tom also had a bit of a dark streak.
He had had a couple of run-ins with police, just doing stupid prankish things, nothing super serious. I was kind of in awe of him because he was very popular, very cute. I was incredibly awkward, big glasses. After the kiss, I barely existed in his world. I would kind of admire him from afar and just go on my nerdy way.
And that was the end of Michelle's teenage crush. Until one day in the fall of 1991.
I had just graduated from college, and Tom was graduating from flight school. We ran into each other at a mutual friend's wedding, and just sparks flew. I remember being really impressed talking to him. I thought, wow, you know, here's somebody who came from a tough situation and they're making it work.
Michelle and Tom quickly became an item.
He and Michelle clicked. I remember thinking that this could be the one.
The glitch was that a couple months from that time, I had already decided that I was moving to LA to pursue my career as a performer. And I told him that after like the third or fourth date. And he immediately said, well, so am I then.
The next spring, Tom and Michelle headed west to pursue their dreams. Michelle had success singing with several local bands, while Tom easily landed a job as a flight instructor. 2 years later, Tom and Michelle knew they were meant to be. And in April 1994, they tied the knot back home in Florida.
I was excited that Michelle had found her guy and that she would be with him forever.
Our wedding was huge. We had a big reception with a killer band, and it was just a giant party. We couldn't get people to leave.
Back in California, the newlyweds quickly embarked on what seemed like an endless honeymoon.
We had various planes of his clients at our disposal a lot. We went to Fiji, to a private island. We went deep sea fishing in Alaska. It was a really, really fun time in our marriage.
But the honeymoon wouldn't last. Nearly 10 years later, the couple's jet-setting lifestyle would take a twisted turn. By the spring of 2005, Michelle was a mother of two, and her globe-trotting days were mostly behind her. But Tom was often away on business, so Michelle kept her cell phone handy. And one day, she got a call that would change her life forever.
It was March 3rd, 2005. I was at the car repair shop, and I got a phone call. I recognized the area code as somewhere in Georgia.
At first, Michelle thought the call was from her husband, who was flying to Atlanta that day. But the voice on the other end belonged to a district attorney, and he had shocking news.
He wanted me to know that they had had my family in surveillance for quite some time. I was completely confused. I said, I don't understand. What are you talking about? He said, you need to be extremely careful and you need to do whatever you feel you need to do to disappear. And he hung up.
The instructions were as perplexing as they were terrifying.
I didn't know what to think.
But as more information came in, Michelle soon found herself on the run.
They were telling me that he was working for the Mexican mafia.
It seemed her husband had been playing a very dangerous game.
He was a private pilot, but nobody knew what he was doing half the time.
In the spring of 1996, 10 years before the phone call that would change her life, Michelle Broom and her handsome husband, Tom, had the world at their feet.
We were very close. We were in love.
But one afternoon, 2 years into her marriage, Michelle came across a disturbing sign that things weren't entirely perfect.
I was going through some papers, and I came across a bill for an attorney, and it was a pretty substantial bill, thousands of dollars. So I called the number on the bill. It turned out to be an attorney that directly deals with people who have gotten DUIs.
Michelle was stunned. Tom had never mentioned a DUI, but he had obviously gotten one a month before.
He came home and I just held the bill out to him and I said, what is this? And he was like, oh, I've been meaning to tell you, I got a DUI and I'm getting out of it. This guy's gonna take care of it for me. I was furious. I was really upset.
Still, it was just one mistake. Michelle decided to let the incident go. For the next 5 years, life carried on as usual. And by the winter of 2001, Michelle and Tom realized they were ready for their next adventure, parenthood.
I'm entering my 30s, the biological clock is ticking. So we decided, you know, to give it a shot. And I got pregnant almost right away. Tom was just over the moon, so happy.
To prepare for the baby, Michelle took a steady job at a record label, and Tom began flying for several high-profile clients. The job meant Tom was often gone, but he was also pulling in six figures.
We were both very excited about our lives and careers and the baby coming.
But as Michelle's pregnancy wore on, she quickly realized that Tom had no intention of slowing down.
He was still taking off and taking his surf trips and his golf trips and his skiing trips, in addition to the trips that he was doing for his job.
He would get home from trips, come back, spend an hour, and then off he would go to be with his mates, off to the bar.
Michelle soon noticed that Tom was drinking heavily, and to make matters worse, he seemed to be developing another bad habit.
I overheard him on the phone, and he thought that nobody could hear him, but he was talking to somebody about placing a bet on teams that I'd never heard of before. I asked him about it, and I was like, well, then who were you betting with? Oh, it was, you know, my buddy's bookie. And I'm like, bookie?
Concerned, Michelle asked Tom to cut back on the gambling, and Tom promised he would rein it in. In January 2002, after the birth of their son, he kept his word.
He was just absolutely in love with our son, and I believed at that time that, okay, you know, our lives have changed and he gets it, and he was home more the first month or two.
But when their son was just 3 months old, things took a turn for the worse.
Tom was in Mexico on a business trip, and he sometimes had trouble getting through the phone connections to check his voicemail from there. So he called me at one point and said, I can't get my voicemail.
Tom asked Michelle to check his messages, and when she did, she heard something completely unexpected.
There was a message from a woman. She was, hey, sweetie. I'm so sorry I missed you. Call me whenever you can and we'll arrange to see each other. So I called Tom and I said, who is this woman? And I said her name and there was dead silence.
Tom refused to discuss the matter over the phone, but the next day he came home and came clean.
he was white when he walked in the door, and he said that he'd only seen her a couple of times, and she was a flight attendant, and they would occasionally connect if they were in the same city. I just looked at him and I thought, oh my, what are you? I had no idea you were even capable of this. I would never do this.
Michelle was devastated, but she wasn't ready to throw in the towel.
For better or for worse, I was brought up in that, you know, you're married, you take a vow, and you go through trials and you make it work.
Michelle insisted on counseling, and for a while, things got better. In 2004, just after their 10th wedding anniversary, Michelle realized she was pregnant again.
My thought was, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, you know, but okay, we're having a baby, we're gonna make this work.
But just 1 month into her pregnancy, Michelle's hopes for a renewed marriage were shattered as Tom reverted back to his old ways and much, much worse.
Tom's drug use was just as bad as his drinking.
He was scary. He seemed like he was possessed.
I just had this overwhelming feeling that he was hiding something.
By the spring of 2004, 10 years into her roller coaster marriage, Michelle Broom could only watch as her husband's self-destructive behavior escalated. Everyone was concerned.
Tom was not in a good place. He was drinking a lot, he was away a lot, he wasn't comfortable, and it was really hard to watch.
That December, Michelle went into labor with her daughter. What should have been a joyful time seemed almost agonizing for Tom.
It was like he was jumping out of his skin being there. He couldn't sit still. He was constantly on the phone. He was pacing, even after the baby was born.
It was disturbing behavior, but Michelle would soon learn that Tom was hiding a much darker secret. On March 3rd, 2005, 9 weeks after the birth of their daughter, Tom was flying to Atlanta on business. Michelle was at the mechanics when she got an alarming call from a district attorney in Georgia.
He said, your family's been under surveillance for quite some time now. I know that you know nothing. And he said, your husband has been arrested. We have him in custody. He was found with a large amount of cocaine on his airplane.
The DA couldn't give Michelle any more details over the phone. But his final words were chilling.
And he said, you and the kids are in danger. You need to disappear.
Frantic and confused, Michelle raced to pick up her children. She then made a beeline for the bank. And that's when she got another horrible surprise.
I went to try and withdraw money, and it was gone. There was no money in there. It just didn't make sense. I called my sister, Renee. She was working, and I just said, drop everything.
When I got to Michelle, she looked like she was in a complete fog. Everyone's main concern was getting her to a place where nobody could find her. We went to my younger sister's house because she lived in a gated community.
2 hours after she arrived at her sister's, Michelle got a phone call from Tom.
He was at the county jail, and I'm trying to ask questions. What happened? Who were you flying with? Who was the person that called me? Why were we under surveillance?
Tom refused to get into it over the phone.
He kept saying, I can't talk too much because they're listening. Get me home so that we can sort this out. And I'll tell you everything.
Tom's bail had been set at $250,000. Michelle was forced to borrow the money from friends. 3 weeks later, Tom Broom was back in California.
A friend of ours picked him up at the airport and brought him over to my sister's apartment. And he walked in the door. He had this look on his face, like a sheepish look on his face, like, I got caught. I'm really dreading having to tell you this. He said there were drugs. The gambling was just outrageous. And he said that the money was gone. He had gambled it all away.
Desperate to replace the couple's squandered savings, Tom began taking flights for someone he had met in LA.
This guy had offered him cash to fly these flights from Los Angeles to Atlanta and back. No passengers on the plane, just suitcases. no questions asked. And every time he made one of these flights, he would make a giant chunk of cash, like tens of thousands of dollars.
During his last flight, Tom had been stopped by customs.
They started questioning him. He gave them all the paperwork on the plane and his license and everything, like it was just a routine check. And they said, is it okay if we search your plane? They asked him to open a certain compartment on the plane. He said he didn't have the keys to it. They brought out dogs, and the dogs immediately went to that section of the plane and started going crazy.
I think it was like four suitcases filled with pure cocaine. I mean, it's not even cut with anything.
He was caught with 65 kilos, which has a street value of $2 million.
Tom insisted he didn't know what was in the suitcases. But he did have one more horrible admission to make. The man he was flying for was also a member of the notorious and dangerous Mexican mafia.
Obviously, I understood at that point why our lives were in danger. But immediately I thought, well, how do I know that we're not still?
Tom insisted the danger was over.
He said, oh no, you're fine. The main guy, the kingpin, he's long gone. They'll never get him.
But there was no relief. Things were about to spiral completely out of control.
The fear of what was happening just gripped him.
He was going off the deep end. He was a total stranger to me. He was not the man I married.
In March 2005, Michelle Broom's entire world had been turned upside down. Her husband Tom stood accused of drug trafficking and was on house arrest. His claims of innocence were starting to ring hollow.
They said, you know, if somebody's offering you that much cash to fly a plane with no people on it, with locked suitcases, something's going on.
The stress with Michelle was tangible. She tried to hold it together, but it was really, really hard.
The couple now needed to hire an expensive defense team. But Tom's irresponsible behavior had left them penniless.
We were looking at financial ruin, basically.
On the advice of an attorney, Michelle started divorce proceedings.
It was unclear yet whether or not the government was going to come in and seize any of our assets. I was told that if I filed for divorce, if we had any money left over, I could possibly allocate it as child support.
It was a heartbreaking scene, but it was just the beginning. When the couple met with Tom's defense team that April, Michelle realized that her husband had no chance.
They could link him to dozens of these flights, and it had been going on for quite some time, over a year at least. They had conversations recorded. They had instances where he was flying and would change the tail number of the plane mid-route, or change the destination of the plane mid-route, which is a common thing that drug runners do.
Even worse, Tom had also hand-delivered the suitcases to their recipient in Georgia.
He knew the guy's name that he was meeting with. He had a regular meeting point with him. I was blown away. At one point, I looked up and I had this feeling looking at him like, I don't even know who you are.
In July of 2005, after more than 10 years of marriage, Michelle and Tom's divorce was finalized. Meanwhile, Tom, still on house arrest, was falling apart.
It's like the demons that were inside of him just took over. Everything just came back to the surface. All of the addictions, all of the anger, all of the anxiety, the need to escape from it all.
He would go on these drinking rampages and have drugs delivered to the house. He would go on these binges, take pills. I mean, there were times he'd be sitting on the couch twitching. Michelle came to that point and she realized she had to revoke bail on Tom. His behavior was so erratic.
Just before Thanksgiving 2005, Tom Broom went back to jail. That winter, he pled guilty to possession of narcotics with an intent to distribute. There was no trial, and Tom was granted leniency for cooperating with the investigation. He was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison.
It was heartbreaking on many different levels, both watching him as a human being, somebody I care about, watching a marriage completely disappear.
Michelle has traveled a long, hard road since that first kiss almost 30 years ago. Today, she's a single parent. And while she continues to struggle financially, she has an unwavering support system in her family.
The bond that I have and that my kids have now with their grandparents and my sisters and my brother-in-laws is incredible. I could not have made it through this with my sanity somewhat intact without them.
And now, with strength and courage, Michelle is ready to face her next hurdle, Tom's release.
I've talked to him at length about what's going to happen when he gets out. I want him to be a part of the kids' lives, but I will definitely be in control of the situation as far as monitoring how healthy he is. I have forgiven Tom. It's a waste of energy not to. But I haven't forgotten.
Absolutely.